Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, what a great day. We are thrilled you're here, and we always look forward to this week. We look forward to Panel Sunday. We enjoy doing this. I want to welcome all of those joining us on podcast today. And for those who are on podcast, I'm Tim Brooks. With me in this panel is Paul Kern, Josh Burnett, and David Pate. And we will be sharing with you what we see in the scriptures as five D's to growing stronger and stronger. You know, and you look for ways, little examples or analogies or phrases to help remember points. And we're talking about five D's to help you grow stronger and stronger, to help you remember that. The word desire, the word decision, discipline, determination, diligence. Our theme is growing stronger and stronger. And in Scripture, we see that these are five directional words that you have to grow stronger and stronger. I want to start us off with the word desire. Psalms 21:2 says, He will give you the desire of your heart. Now we got a huge problem. A huge problem in this generation today is many young people don't have any desire. You ask them, what do they want to do, or where do they want to go, or what do they want to be, and they don't know. I don't know. I'm just fine right where I am. You get a shoulder shrug. You give God nothing to bless when you don't have any desire. You have the desires of your heart is what God can add His blessings to. God works through our desires. And I want to just mention a note here we throw in about parenting as well. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but many species have their young and they just swim off. Immediately self-sufficient. Many just crawl off. They're immediately self-sufficient. But God gave children to parents, and you've got to parent. You parent for a number of years, and desire is something that is instilled as we parent. You instill a desire to be something, to accomplish something, to produce something. You, as a parent, instill the fact you're not here to take. You're here to be a giver in this life. And what do you want to do? What do you want to be? What do you want to become? Too many parents, well, I just don't want to pressure them. I don't want to pressure. Well, that's good because they're 30 and they don't feel any pressure at all.
Right.
You know, what are you going to do? When you're 18, what are you going to be and what are you going to be doing? And we've got to instill that. Psalms 21:2. God will give you the desires of your heart. Now, there's two things that I want to open with. Number one, you got to have a desire for God to work with. Right. You got to have a desire. But number two, you have to be very, very careful because God will give you the desire of your heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you desire something that will lead to death, lead to your destruction, lead to your demise, right, lead to hurt, lead to pain, lead to a lot of consequences in your life, God will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be careful about your desires.
Right, for sure. One of the things I talk to our young people about is Matthew 6:14, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so your desire has to line up with His desires if we want to bring His will to earth. And so once we're saved, that's our goal, is to advance His kingdom. Well, how do I know what His desires are? Psalms 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And that first part, take delight, I think is key. Mm-hmm. That's got to be key, is take delight in Him, spend time with Him, abide in Him. And then there becomes this aligning of our heart with God's heart. That's there becomes it. This aligning of our will with His will. There becomes this aligning of, let's bring heaven's will to earth, and our desires will become His desires. So I think that's a really key part of, is we got to spend time with Him. We got to get in our word and find out what His will is. We've got to pray. We got to become one with the Spirit and get in line with what He wants to do, what His desire is for our life and the earth.
Good. Now that's it. And with desire, I really don't think desire is a young person thing. I think it's an every person thing.
Yeah.
I think we all struggle with desire. I think there are times in our relationships, whether it be marriage or whatever, that we lose desire for that. I think there's times in our jobs or just life itself that we lose desire. And I think a new desire happens when you get tired of being where you're at. Sure. I think we have to kind of come to the end of ourselves. You know, the prodigal son story, you saw him get tired of the life that he was living, and it says he came to his senses. And I think when we get tired of where we're at, because no one can create our desire. Right. No one can give us a desire. That has to be us. We have to get tired of where we're at, and then a new desire happens. So I actually don't think it's a young person thing. I think it's all of us that will lose desire with where we're at.
Well, Josh, as you said, you've got to get your desire from God.
Right.
Your desires can't come from your flesh.
Right.
But here's what's happened, and I think this has plagued a lot of Christianity. As parents, we tell our young people what they can't do. Don't do this, and don't go there, and don't do that, and don't eat that, and don't smoke that, and don't go here, and don't be with those friends, and don't be this, and don't. And so they've got what they don't do, but parents aren't saying, what are you going to be, what are you going to do, where are you going to go? All we're doing is telling them what not to do. And in parenting, you've got to, yes, there are things we don't want to do, and we need to teach that. But as parents, our focus is on the positive. Where are you going to go? What are you going to build? What are you going to accomplish? What has God put you here? Because God gives you the desires of your heart. And without a desire, you give God nothing to bless. Right. You know, God guides and leads us. But when a person is not going anywhere, when there is no desire, I'm good. I'm good. What are you going to do? I can't improve on this. You know, you don't give God something to lead and guide you into. You know, when you're just on the couch watching YouTube and have no desire, and I think that's what that produces is no desire, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with no desire.
For sure.
What's the desire in your heart?
I think a big part of it is retraining your desires. You know, God gives us the desires of our heart, and you have to retrain your desires. You know, working with the interns here, and, you know, these guys come in, and it's all about retraining our desires, right? And so Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have workout. And, you know, you come, and you might not necessarily have a desire to work out. Your desire is more to grab a whole box of Oreo cookies and a gallon of milk, and that's your desire. That's what you want to do.
Sure.
So there has to be a retraining of, okay, my desire was for this, but I got to retrain my desire for this. Because like we said, we all of us take the path of our desire. We will always pursue that path. So I think one of the real keys is retraining our desire. The way that we do that is we do that through the washing of water by the Word.
Right.
You know, as a believer, we train our mind to have different appetites for different things and desire different things by reprogramming ourselves through the Word. And the more consistent that we come in choosing that path, then the more our desires change away from what our flesh wants and more of what God wants for our life.
That's good.
Really good.
That's good.
So the first one is desire. I think a second D for us, if we're going to grow stronger, is the decisions that we make.
Right.
And really there's two types of decisions that we have as people. We have moral decisions and preference decisions. And obviously God has given us the moral decisions. He's kind of told us here's what's moral and here's what's not. But he also has preference decisions for us. I think a great example is in the garden. He said for Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree, but I've given you all these other fruit trees to eat from. So there's a lot of other decisions that God doesn't. He said, it's our preference. Scientists say there's something like 2,500 fruit trees, fruit-bearing trees here on this earth. And God told them there was only one you couldn't eat. So there was moral decisions, but then there's a lot of decisions that God doesn't care about. I think there's a lot of things that God has given us to do, and I think sometimes we don't make a decision because, well, what if I make the wrong one? Well, the wrong one is the immoral one.
Right.
And as long as we're not doing the immoral one, there's all these other trees that he gave us to eat of. There's all these other things to do, and I think sometimes we need to, if we're going to grow stronger, we've got to make a decision. We've got to We've got to go out there and do something.
And clearly God wants to lead us. Clearly God's plan is to guide us. But for you to stand there for an hour or two and pray over which toothpaste to buy, God, I just want to be in your will. God, I just want to be in your will. Now show me what. Pick one and move on, please.
Right.
God, I don't want to go to the wrong college. I'm just praying. What are you doing? Well, I'm just praying about where I'm supposed to go. You could have had a master's degree by now. Pick one and go. Yeah. Clearly we've got to have a balance. Right. And I'm not telling you run ahead of God and you run without prayer. But we are so indecisive, and I think the fear, as you said, the fear of missing God or the fear of being out of God's will has too many Christians not doing anything. Let's go. Let's make the decision and let's move on. You got to make a decision.
No, for sure. If you need wisdom on it, it's okay to get wisdom on a decision. I mean, James 1:5 says, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask God. He gives it generously to all men. And then also Proverbs 13:20, if you walk with the wise, you become wise. So we can get some wisdom on a decision, but don't live in limbo. Don't overcomplicate your calling. Understand we're all called to love God and to make disciples. And so I was loving God and making disciples before I was a pastor. Your vocation is irrelevant to your ministry. You're in full-time ministry wherever you're at. I remember doing landscaping every day, having a whole crew of guys in my truck, and I made them listen to Bible CDs all day long. We listened to preaching all day long. That was the last thing that they wanted to do, but I was showing the light of God everywhere that I went. Just yesterday, we took a group of students downtown to pray for people. I could do that without being a youth pastor. I could take a group of students downtown and pray for people. And so it doesn't matter what your job or what you're doing. Know that you're called to make disciples, and don't live in limbo of, should I go to this college? Should I do this? Should I have this career? Should I do this? Your gifts and talents, a lot of times, should make decisions for you.
Sure.
God has gifted you to do something, so do that. If he's gifted you with mechanics, be a mechanic. If he's gifted you to cut hair, cut hair. If he's gifted you to speak, speak. But whatever he's gifted you in, that should make some decisions for you.
Let's make a decision. Yeah, we've got to make a decision.
I like what David said when he was talking about feelings. You know, I do think a lot of people make decisions based on feelings, you know. So I feel like binging on Netflix all night long. Now, I know I have a test in the morning, but I feel like binging on Netflix all night long. Well, I think one of the things that really helps in decision making is understanding that with every decision that we make, there's a consequence.
Sure.
Right? There's always a consequence to every choice that we make. As a matter of fact, we're just a walking billboard of decisions that we've made in life. You know, as people look at us, where we're at in life and the point that we're at in life, we're a walking billboard of the decisions that we have made.
That is
so
true.
The problem is most people make decisions based on how they feel at the moment, instead of making decisions based on goals.
Yeah,
and I think a real key is making decisions based on goals. See, once you understand that every decision that you make has a consequence that follows that decision, then that's going to give you more clarity in making decisions that you make every single day. It's going to help you predict your future, in other words. So you don't make decisions based on how you feel. You make decisions based on where you want to end up or where you want to go.
That's good. And I can tell you, I see people that, I'll tell you what I'd do. Here's what you ought to do. Well, I can see what your decisions have produced in your life. Your decisions produce a lifestyle for you.
Well, and I think we get confused because I want to be led by the Lord. And I think being led by the Lord, sometimes it seems like that's a feeling. Well, if I don't feel it, then I'm not going to
really
do
good.
It. I think this summer I was doing crucifixion talk and doing some things up at Brookhill, and I remember being done and think, well, that was terrible, you know. I can't even believe any kids got saved. I can't even believe, you know, that was terrible. I hope they got something out of it. And I remember not feeling it, but then I remember counselors coming up to me and bragging on me, which they usually don't do. They usually don't say anything to me about it. But they were really bragging on this, and it was like God was confirming in me, you don't always have to feel it
to make a decision
and do the right thing. But I think there's a confidence in the Lord when we know his word, know his call, that we can do that.
And I think that leads into our third point. So how do you deal with your feelings? Because everybody gets fired up to do something. Everybody gets fired up to start. But what happens when that inspiration, what happens when that motivation fades? Because it will in whatever decision that you make. And that leads to our third D, which is discipline. It takes discipline to stay with your decision. Okay. So you decided to go to this college. Well, now you're going to have the discipline to study.
Well, that's
now you're
going
to have the discipline to get up and go to class. You decided to go into this job or to go in this career. Well, now you've got to have the discipline to follow through. I decided to have kids. And so now, as tired as I am when I get home from work, I'm going to have the discipline to get in the floor and play with my kids.
Good.
Because if I don't have the discipline, I want to be a good father, but if I don't have the discipline to parent, to get in the floor, to play, well, then when they're 15 and 16 years old, they're not going to have anything to do with
it. I think we've got a wrong idea of the word discipline. Discipline my kids. I'll tell you, I'll discipline. Discipline's not beating your kid and sending him to his room and locking him. I mean, that's not, discipline is a lifestyle.
For sure.
It is a lifestyle. A disciplined lifestyle is when the alarm clock goes off, you get up.
Right.
Discipline is walking past the food that you are not supposed to eat. Discipline is studying when you'd rather be watching Netflix. Discipline, it's a disciplined lifestyle. It's not the fact that you give a whooping to your kid. It's a lifestyle that you live.
I wrote down that discipline is a decision that you stick with.
Yeah.
So it kind of builds on the decision part. But discipline is making the same decision over and over. Again, not changing your mind. And I get the idea that the Apostle Paul was a very disciplined person.
For
like
sure.
When you read anything that he wrote, it must be a Paul thing. It must be greatness in the name of discipline. But 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. Verse 27 says, I discipline my body like an athlete. And discipline is not something we do tomorrow.
Right.
It's something we do today.
That's great.
You know how it is. My diet starts tomorrow, you know, and tomorrow never comes, you know. Discipline is something we have to do today and every day and create habits.
For sure. I love this line here going along with that is most people give up what they want most for what they want now.
Well, that's
and so we want to be fit, but that donut looks good.
How do you come up with all these good things? I never think of something that good to say.
He hears them on the internet.
That's oh, he I didn't do. Come up.
I hear him on the internet. Yeah.
YouTube. Well, hold on. That's say that again. You got to say that again.
That's from me watching YouTube all day.
That's right.
It's a benefit. It's a benefit.
Well, anyway, say that again because I didn't think of that.
We have to have the discipline to give up what we want now to get what we want most.
Man, that's
and
good.
And so right now, I don't want to study, but I need to study if I want to make an A on that test. Right now, I've got to be a parent even though I don't feel like it. Right now, I've got to say no to that donut even though it looks really good.
Yeah.
My metabolism is starting to slow down as I'm getting older here, but we've got to be disciplined to get what we want most. So we got to give up what we want now in the moment.
All right, so I can't let B outdo me on quotes. So I got to have one myself. Everyone must suffer two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And
so good.
You know, discipline is such an important key in life. It takes us, discipline can take you places that talent and gifts and abilities never can. You know, you watch people who've got a lot of talents, they've got a lot of ability, they've got a lot of giftings, and that can open the door. But discipline is what sustains you and what keeps you in that place of blessing. So it's very, very important that we learn how to see the benefits of discipline. Because you know, I think discipline is not a fun word for people to hear.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I don't like that word, discipline. That's a negative connotation, that word. But here's the thing. When you start seeing the rewards of discipline and you start walking into the benefits of discipline, now all of a sudden discipline's one of your favorite words because you see the fruit that discipline produces
that's
in
so
your
good.
Life.
That's so good. And you're going to suffer one way or another from discipline or the regret of what your lack of discipline never produced what you really desired in your heart. It's just the way it was.
For sure.
Well, the next word that we're going to be talking about is determination. And, you know, it's just hard to beat a person who never gives up.
That's true.
You know, and God has called us to be people that are determined to come in to what God has for us to come into. You know, I remember when I first got interested in following the Lord, you know, and really getting turned on to following after Jesus. And I was a lot younger in my faith. And so my faith was very immature. You know, so much of what my faith was based on was feeling, was sure. emotion, and I think that's where a lot of people start out. But I just wasn't determined. And so, you know, my compromises in my life, the areas of my character that weren't where they were supposed to be, I would often find myself slipping back into old ways and doing old things. And I don't know, God just began to do a work in me, and God put in me a determination. And I'll tell you, you know, for me, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, but when the Rocky movies came out, I'm just telling you, I will never forget sitting in Rocky I. And I came out of that movie a changed man. I did. I came out of that movie a changed man, and Rocky's just always inspired me my whole life because I think it's such a great story of determination and overcoming. But everybody has to come to a place in their life where they say, I'm locking in,
right.
I'm never looking back, I'm determined no matter what comes my way, difficult things, hard things, disasters, doesn't matter what comes my way, I am determined that I'm going to do what it is that I have set myself to do.
Absolutely. I think in the Bible, I think Daniel's a good example.
Daniel
was determined in his heart to follow the Lord no matter what. Even under the threat of the lion's den, they told him, if you pray to anybody else, like this is what's going to happen. And it says that he went back and continued in his discipline. He was determined to follow the Lord, but he continued in his discipline of praying three times a day, giving thanks to God three times a day. And he was an old man at this time, but it was talking about that he did this from his youth. And so when he was a young guy, he was already given counsel to kings and governments, but it's because he was determined to follow the Lord no matter what threat came. And then even the Apostle Paul when he's in prison.
That's it.
Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, no matter what trials, no matter what persecutions, no matter what comes my way, I'm following Christ with all that I've got because I see the goal, I see what I'm focused on. And that's what determination is, this focused purpose of I'm following the Lord no matter happens.
Well, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, it said Daniel determined in his heart.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, he determined in his heart, and when you come to that place, you quit. Well, I tried to be a Christian. Well, I tried to go to church, and then I didn't get up last week, but I wish I would have. We're not living determined lives where you determine in your heart, and that drives you forward.
It does, no doubt.
Really good, really good.
Well, you told the story. Tell the story in the first service about the football team.
Oh, the football. I thought you went about Terry. She's here.
No.
Yesterday, I was watching a football game. Yesterday, we were watching football, and this team was behind, and there was just a short amount of time on the clock. And I saw it. I saw that team come out, and you could see it in their eyes. You could see it in their countenance. They're going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Determination is something you can see in somebody.
For sure.
Pretty much the lack of determination is what you can see in somebody as well.
No doubt.
And I see folks starting businesses and starting into marriages, and I think to myself, that'll never work. That ain't gonna work 6 months. There's no determination there.
Mm-hmm.
In whatever it is that you start to do, I don't know how fun it is on the front end, there's got to be a determination in your eye that is visible, and you can see it in people and say, they're fixing to win this game. Now, you can just sit here and watch.
So good.
But you see a determination that, like you said, whatever happens, here's what we're going to do.
That football team wasn't the Hogs, was it, I guess?
Don't talk about that.
No.
We'll ruin church here.
No.
Hey, they did win yesterday.
They did. D2 school.
Yeah, probably a JV.
Get out of here, man.
You know.
Come on.
You know, truth will set you free, John 8:32. You know, life has ups and downs. And we all hit walls. And determination is what has to take us over that wall.
Yeah,
and I wrote this down, is determination is hitting a wall, creating a ladder, and climbing over it.
That's good.
And that's what we have to get. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a professor, and he was saying, you know what we're seeing more and more in our world is a lack of grit.
That's
in
good.
People.
Yeah.
He said, we're producing less and less grit, which is determination.
Right.
We're producing less and less people who can hit a wall, who can have a down moment and climb over that wall and not need someone else to give them a solution, but they come up with their own solutions of I'm not taking no for an answer, I'm not accepting this, but I'm going to be determined to the decision I made, I'm going to stay disciplined, I'm going to climb over this wall, and that's that look in the eye of I don't care what the score is, is I'm going to hit the wall and I'm going to climb, I'm going to run through the wall, I'm going to climb over the wall, but I'm not going to quit.
It's really good.
Well, and I didn't want to tell this because my wife was in this service, but since I did in first service too, my wife was telling me something we were going to do, and I was telling her that I wasn't going to do that. That's not what I was going to do. And I don't know if y'all have those moments where here's what you're going to do, and never. I'm not going never. To do that. And as I was saying, I'm not going to, and she said, you're going to because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I hate it when she pulls that kind of stuff on me.
Yeah.
You're going to because it's the right thing to do. I don't want to. It doesn't feel fun. It's not going to be enjoyable. There's nothing about it, but it's the right thing to do. And that's when Daniel, these examples we're talking about, it wasn't whether he felt like getting thrown in the lion's den or not, he was determined in his heart. Let the chips fall where they may, but I'm going to be determined in my heart to do the right thing.
No doubt.
It's the right thing. It's what's got to happen. Well, it'll move us to the next word, desire, decision, discipline, determination, and then number five, diligence. Luke 9:23 says, daily take up your cross and follow him. Daily take up your cross and follow him. Yet we want just a quick little repeat, a two-sentence prayer back years ago, and then I'm good. I'm good with my life because I did the deal. And we forget that the walk with God is daily. Daily, it's daily. And in this thrill-seeking generation, we just have a hard time with daily. Get up, go to work, and you come home. You get up, you go to work, and you come home. You get up, and you go to work, and you come home for the next 30 or 40 years. That's just difficult for the thrill-seeking, fun, love. I didn't feel it today, and that's why we've got so much chaos in our own personal life, because we lack diligence to stay in there. I looked up the word diligent in the dictionary, and it said persevering, and then here was the second definition, steady effort. Diligent is steady effort, where you give steady effort, and when you give steady effort, you give God something to bless. You give God something to bless, and I'm thinking about what the desire of my heart is, I want to grow tomatoes. And then a week later, go pull all those up. The desire in my heart is to put in a peach orchard. Week later, go pull all those up. The desire in my heart. And I talk to young people all the time. They've got a new desire every month. You're going to major in this, and I'm going to major in that. And then I'm going to college, and I'm going to major in this. Well, boy, that sounds great. And then 6 months later, you pull that up, you start. It's steady effort that God can bless. God will bless your peach orchard. God will bless your apple orchard, but you're 30 years away from the same thing. See, we keep changing and changing, and it's no wonder we have such a hard time living a blessed life.
That's good. For sure. What the rabbit and the hare? Yeah. I mean, the tortoise and the hare race.
Steady,
The tortoise won the race through just being steady. You know, it's fun every year when all of, you know, at the beginning of the year when we start CMA and we start Applied Life Leaders Academy and all the new students come in, man, it's so exciting. It's such a fun atmosphere. And I always love that time of the year because we have all these new interns that come on our campus and they're so excited. I watch them pulling up on the parking lot and they find their new roommates and everybody's just at fever pitch. And I've been living across the street in the same house for the last 20 years, doing the same thing for the last 20 years, teaching the same classes for the last 20 years, doing everything that they're doing new. We have been repeating that process over and over and over. But the thing I love about watching our staff is you would never know it, with any of our staff that it is something that they have been doing repetitively for 20 years because
that's great.
There's just such a key to be found in diligence. Mm-hmm. And that diligence just gives you a joy and a power and a grace that empowers you to be excited about, here we go, we're doing it one more time. Because once again, you see the fruit, like Tim was saying, you see the fruit of what diligence produces in your life. Yeah. And I think that's how it keeps things from becoming mundane
for sure.
and routine for you. You know, because just like anything, the new wears off, the new car, the new job, whatever. But if you can keep that in your mind and you look at the fruit of what that's producing, then it changes everything.
When you have a new money idea every year, you're not there long enough for God to grow and develop and bless that. Mm-hmm. Matthew 25 teaches, if you're faithful in the little, and it's that faithfulness in a little that over a long time, God blesses. I've made a discovery about myself here just recently. Been very eye-opening for me. I say I hate change. I hate change. I can't keep up with all this new technology. I hate change. And you know, I found out it's not change that I don't like. I'm glad that we're not cooking supper on an open fire. I'm glad we got an oven.
That's a good thing.
I'm glad about that change. I'm glad it doesn't take 5 or 6 hours to cook. We can pop it in the microwave and we're talking minutes. Mm. I like that change. It's not change that I'm having a hard time with. Here's my deal. I'm having a hard time with buying a computer, and in 6 months, that piece of junk's outdated. 6 months, I hadn't even learned to use it yet, and it's outdated. Before I can use this phone, that's outdated. You got to get this. We're in a time when we are updating so fast that we haven't even mastered this piece of technology.
Right.
Here's my concern about that. My concern about that is it creates a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's a piece of junk. Well, you've been married 6 months. That's a piece of junk. I got to update.
Wow.
You've had kids. Oh, I hate those. I got to update and get me another set of kids over here. Oh, at school. I've been in that school 6 months. I got to get it. Let me tell you, the life God blesses is over a lifetime.
That's it.
And this
that's
outdated, really
good. Man,
new, I got to have the new improved version is creating a mindset in us that everything we got is old and outdated and a piece of junk. We got to have something new. Marriage doesn't work like that.
Mm-mm, right.
Finances don't work. Everybody wants to hit a big get rich quick thing. That's why all the gambling is so popular because people just don't want to work the same job for 30 years in the same town and watch what God does.
Right. So good.
Get you a job, sweep the floor there, and in 30 years, you'll have worked your way up and look where you will be. Yeah. We just want somebody to invent something and give us something new. And that's just not the life that God blesses. That's good. Not the life that God blesses.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something to say about the farming culture that we used to be here in America. You know, we're
you know
not
a
farming. What's that?
You know a lot about farming?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I put on my overalls every day and jump on old Skippy the horse and go out and plow the field. You know, but we're not a farming society anymore. We're a supermarket society. We're a Walmart society.
Yeah, sure.
That's what we
that's
are.
Right.
And so, you know, we don't understand how, and I definitely don't understand how to, how to plant a crop and then go and dig and then harvest that thing and sit there and do nothing. But that yeah, there was something to say about the farming society and what that did. And today we plant, mow our crops and plant and mow our crops.
Wow.
And yeah, there was just something to say about that, and we're definitely a update to iPhone 8 generation, you know.
I'll just interject there. I've heard this before. Don't be a Christian that walks around with a pocket full of seeds. So you come in here and you get seed and you get seed and you get seed and you get seed. Will you ever plant it and ever let it grow? You're not going to be the most disciplined person tomorrow because you listen to this panel. It's something that you have to plant, and you've got to grow, and you've got to work at.
Well, that's excellent.
You don't walk around with a pocket full of seeds. Plant them and let them grow and be diligent and let God produce growth in your life and stay committed to His Word.
It's so true. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about running our race with endurance. Running our race with endurance. And the Christian life is just over a long period of time.
Right.
That's just the way it works. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you each day, as we as a church are growing stronger and stronger, develop your godly desires.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How much time you've got left on this earth? Well, what do you want to accomplish in that amount of time? Your desires. Make right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, heavy consequence of bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy consequence. Make right decisions. Have the discipline to walk through that decision. That's what you decided. I said I will. I said I would do. Now I'm going to have the discipline to carry that thing through.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have determination. It's just gut check time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to walk diligent. We want to have the heart of God as we grow stronger and stronger. We're out of time. Did you get something out of this today? Y'all stand with me. Father, today as we grow stronger and stronger in you, Lord, that we live life in a blessable way. Lord, as we read your word, we see that your desire is to bless your children. Lord, let us make the right decisions, that we live our life in a way that you can bless. Lead, guide, and direct us as we live our life to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.